of God. Jeremiah 29:11 is all based around salvation. Like, if as soon as you get into salvation, that's the open door into his plan. And so we have to understand that it's not a difficult thing. And yet sometimes we act like it is. And I understand why, because I've been there. I am there sometimes, praise the Lord. Sometimes you're like, well, what am I supposed to do? But it's important that we keep running with what God has us, where God has us going. Amen. Turn with me to John, praise the Lord, 14. The Word of God. I just love the Word. I was just saying to my wife how much I love the Word. How many times? It's just in there. Every time I get in there, I read something, I'm like, there's the answer. That's the answer. For what, you say? Well, it's the answer for a lot of things. Amen? Whatever it's answering. But it's always an answer for something. And I'm always just amazed at how God has covered everything. Amen? So we're going to John 14, verses 15 through 18. Glory, hallelujah. John 14, 15 through 18. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Notice what he called him, the helper. He's a helper. He said he was giving us a part of himself, and he's calling that part of himself help. Hallelujah. We should never be without help, because we've been given the helper. He's put him on the inside of us. Amen. Now see, this is the truth. This is something I've learned about God. See, you can ignore the help. You can ignore the helper. He can be speaking to you. He can tell you, you know, he can be trying to get plans over to you. But if you're so wrapped up and consumed in your own plans, if you're also so wrapped up and consumed in your own desires, you will completely miss what God has for you. And that is, I have found in my few years of pastoring, that is probably the number one reason why people miss the plan of God, because they're too consumed with what they want. What they do is they go to God and they say, this is what I want to do, Lord, or this is what I think I need to do. Bless it. Praise the Lord. Good Christian people do this all the time. The most important thing to us is where God has us to be and to grow and flourish. Amen? Praise the Lord. And I will pray that he'll give you another helper, the Spirit of Truth. I mean, he puts it all right in here. How much easier can it be? He's the helper, but he's also the Spirit of Truth. So in other words, only what he says is truth. Glory to God. And of course, we know he's going to speak the word. Whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. Oh my gosh. God isn't going to leave us orphans. He's not going to leave us stranded. He's not going to leave us without knowing. God promised us a way. Praise the Lord. But notice it says that the world can't receive him. I'm going to take this a step further and expound on this a little bit to kind of open it up. Those who think like the world can't receive him. They can't receive what he's going to say. You know, see, when we get wrapped up in our mind, like, how am I going to make my next $100? How am I going to pay this bill? How am I going to do this? How am I going to pay off the church? Hey, this doesn't apply just to people that are living in the world. How are we going to pay off the church? How are we going to do this? How? See, all those questions are worldly questions. Jesus didn't ask questions. He always knew what to do, because he was full of the Holy Spirit, because he had communion with the Holy Spirit. He knew where he was going ahead of time. Everything Jesus did was on purpose. That's why Jesus never lacked. That's why Jesus always knew the next step, because everything he did, he consulted with God. Amen? You know, Jesus did live here. He was God, but you do know that he didn't live here as a God. He didn't live here as God with all the powers of God. He lived here as a man who was full of God. Hallelujah. Just like you and I. Now, women, you're included in that too, amen? Praise the Lord. But Jesus couldn't live as both man and woman. He had to pick one, amen? And you know why he picked man? You know why he picked to live as a man? Because we need the most help. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You thought I was going somewhere else with that, but are you kidding me? I got my mom and my wife in the front row. I wouldn't dare say something bad. Hallelujah. And I know Pastor Katie's coming back. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So we see that, you know, we know God wants to help us. Praise the Lord. He's given us the helper. But we can't receive him if we're not focused, we're not thinking like he thinks. He wants us to think. if we're not thinking according to Scripture. You know, I've always kind of wondered about people that can come to church and just and they just never, you know, they never really connect to it. They never really fully jump into it. You know, I mean, I've been there before, so I understand a little bit. But I mean, over time, where people or people who over time that they withdraw from the things that God has them doing. Listen, just as this is the most important place, this is the most important work. And so if we're not being part of that, if we're not doing everything to fulfill that, if we're not raising our children in such a way that they understand that this is most important, then we're failing at being a Christian. We're failing. Well, sure, we might get saved, we might be saved, and praise God for salvation. But we're not just here to be saved. We're not just here for ourselves. We're here to promote the work of God. Every single one of us. There is no person, no man, woman, or child. Doesn't mean everybody's going to stand in a pulpit. Doesn't mean that everybody's going to minister at some point. Doesn't mean that everybody's going to run this department or that department. But we are all called to do the work of God. We are all called to love the work of God. In fact, if you don't love the work of God, I would say you can't fully love God. Because he loves his work. The local church is in God's heart. It's everything to God. It means everything to him. That's why he brought us together. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. He has called us to do two things, and we see this in these scriptures. To do the word, right? Keep my commandments. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So we're called to do two things. We're told to keep his commandments, do the word, but also to follow the Spirit. Praise the Lord. If we're not doing those two things, then we're missing out on what God's wanting to do. Amen? Is there anyone here who wants to miss out on what God wants to do? I don't want to miss it. Praise the Lord. I think about, you know, sometimes consecration to things like this is not, it's not easy. It's not easy to just to put down things. You know, I think about this today. I'll tell you, you know, I come into church. Praise God for worship and stuff like that, you know, and it helps us get prepared for service. But, you know, I was already ready for service because I've been preparing all day, you know, and it's a beautiful day outside, isn't it? Sunshiny, amen. And the last thing I wanted to do was to hold myself up and prepare for what, you know, for the service. But I knew the importance of it, and so that meant more to me, amen? And so sometimes we have to lay those things down to be able to get all that God has for us. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So he's called us to do the word. It's so important that we do the word and that we follow his Spirit. You know, and we can't do that if we're constantly coming up with schemes. We can't do that if we're constantly making plans otherwise. We need to spend time seeking God. You know, the number one place that you're going to find out your calling is right where you're sitting. Amen. You know, when I first came into this church, I remember how many years ago, 10 years ago or so, or yeah, 2005. You do the math. Praise the Lord. It's maybe more than 10. But we came in here. Is it more than? Yeah, it's more than 10. Yeah, that's more than 10. Yeah, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hey, I never claimed. I dropped out of high school. Remember, that's it. Praise the Lord. Kids, stay in school and you can do the math. Hallelujah. But when we came into this church, the last thing on my mind was pastoring. The last thing on my mind was ever going to be standing up in a pulpit or doing anything like this. Man, I was good with just doing whatever. I got hungry. I got hungry quick because I had lived in the world enough to know that it was going to hurt. And so I just wanted God. I wanted more of God. Praise the Lord. But as I came in, you know, the last thing in my mind was to pastor or anything of the sort. But as I sat under the word and as I was in, you know, and submitted myself to what God was doing, as I did those things over the years, God started putting things in me. And God even spoke to my pastor, started speaking to my pastor about my gifts and callings even before he was speaking to me about it. And my pastor was, you know, he had to speak with him first because he had to give him enough time to get over saying no. To him, because I was saying, no, you can't allow him to do that. You can't, you don't understand. You don't understand what a mess he is. And he's like, he goes back and praise the Lord. He's going to go back and pray about it some more. But you know, the Lord started revealing to him, and he revealed to me, and all these things were discovered. Praise God, as I served God. Now, I'm not trying to like pat myself. Please understand that for everything I've done right, I've done 1,000 things wrong. Amen. But somehow God can still use me, amen? And somehow God can still use you too, because it doesn't matter how many times we're wrong, it just matters that we always get right. Do you know what I'm saying? So you can be off a little bit, you can even make a mistake. I just love this, you know, there's a scripture in Psalm that tells us that he does not deal with us according to our sins. He doesn't punish us according to our iniquities. He doesn't look at us according to what we've done. He tries to find anything good, and he's like, we're going to run with that. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, we don't need to give him reasons to look away. We don't need to practice being bad. You know what I mean? We do enough of that pretty easily. But, you know, even though you may miss the mark at times, even though you may not live up to a certain standard. Hey, I almost failed right out of it several times. Even right before I went into the season that led me into pastoring, I almost completely gave it all up and lost it over something, some stupid offense. Amen? But see, God isn't concerned about that. What God is concerned is with the outcome, what you continue to do or what you're reaching for. He cares about the heart. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so as you keep your heart towards him and you stay open to what he wants you to do, you're going to find things that you didn't expect. But in those things are going to be where your blessing is. See, it's real easy to look at something and desire it and say, hey, you know what? I want that. But one thing I've learned in my life that is overwhelmingly important is that I start looking at things and, Lord, you show me what I need. You show me what you have for me. You show me what and we're going to get into that some, but you show me what you have set aside for me. I don't even need to want anything anymore because I've learned that what I want, I'll get it, and then it doesn't satisfy me anyways, and then I'm just confused at why I spend all the time worrying about it. You know what I mean? But if you just follow God, he gets you there quicker. Then you're actually enjoying it. Proverbs 10:22. We love that scripture, right? The blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he has no sorrow to it. But see, that's the thing. When God blesses you, there's no sorrow attached to it. When God blesses you, it feels good. Now, I'm not saying you can't want anything. You know, don't get me wrong. But we don't focus on those things. We don't make those of utmost importance because they never are fulfilling in the end. Amen? Oh, praise the Lord. Turn with me to Matthew. We're gonna see something here about moving forward in faith that's really important. Matthew 14. Glory to God. Hope this is okay. If it's not, you ain't got much longer. Praise the Lord. Matthew 14:28. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's the way I almost always look at it. Even going into preaching, I never know how it's going to be. I mean, I'm counting on God, but praise the Lord. There's sometimes I just get too much in the way, you know, and it just wasn't good, and I walk out feeling beat up. So about halfway through a sermon, if I'm feeling beat up, the one thing I always tell myself is, it's almost over. Hallelujah. We're almost to the other side, so glory to God. It might be tough a little bit right now. Praise the Lord. And if anyone's ever ministered, they know exactly what I'm talking about. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, it's not you, it's me, but hey, praise the Lord. If I miss it, well, glory to God, I'll try better next time. Amen. Matthew 14:20. See, I just learned to expect nothing of myself. I just put all the demand on him. Amen. I tell God all the time. My wife and I were on our knees in the office right before service, just pleading with God. No, we weren't pleading with God, but we were on our knees right before service, and I'm just like, Lord, you know I ain't got it. I never did. You know what I mean? I'm paraphrasing what I said, but that's exactly what I was saying. I ain't got it. I never did, but I know that you do, and I know you got some people out there that you love. And since I'm the one that they picked to speak tonight, if you want them to have something because you love them, then you better put it in me. Amen? Now, I love it because it makes me look good if something good comes out. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. That's how easy it is. You just follow God. Okay, so we see here, let's look at what we're going to find in this, amen? And Peter, we love Peter, right? I love Peter. I identify so much with Peter. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And Peter answered him. Now, we know this is when Jesus come walking to him on the water, you know, like you do. Jesus can just walk on the water because he was God. No, because he was a man full of God, amen? His purpose, amen? Glory to God, hallelujah. And Peter answered him. You know, they were afraid, but Peter answered him after he said, you know, that's me. And he said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So Jesus said, come. And when Peter come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. I love that. But you notice something. Peter didn't walk on the water before he came down out of the boat. He had to step out in faith. You know, this is one of the mistakes that so many people make is they think, well, you know, I want to do this or I got this on my heart and this and that. Even good people, okay, you're a good person and you want to, maybe you're believing God for an offering. Praise the Lord. Maybe you're believing God for this or that. You know what I mean? You got your faith out there, and you just don't have it yet. But you notice what Peter did. We know that it's right and good to do those things, but Peter had to step out of the boat. And see, it's not so often we're waiting for the answer to come before we move, and what we know is we got to do. If everybody of faith ever did that, we wouldn't have this, or it would be a lot lighter. Amen. Glory to God. It would be a lot lighter, because we wouldn't have all the awesome accounts of people who believed God and stepped out when all the odds were against them. Listen, the odds are always going to look like they're against you. That doesn't matter. That doesn't change God. That doesn't change His word. It didn't change His word for Peter. Jesus said, come. You don't think Peter knew that he couldn't walk on water? You don't think Peter knew that I'm assuming he could swim. He was a fisherman, but praise the Lord, I can't swim that good. But I can swim a little, but I know that I can't walk on water. But it sounds like Peter didn't even hesitate. Amen? And so we do this so often. We think, well, we got to wait for the right plan. We got to wait for everything to be in place. And see, that's where we miss it. We need to learn that we got to step out in faith. We have to go when God says come. But see, you have to also know the voice of God to know when He's going to say come. Because sometimes God's also saying wait. And we wonder why when we get out of the boat, we start sinking. Because we're not listening to what God's saying. See, we have to follow God, and where we're going to do that, I'm going to tell you, I have had more direction in my life when I've been sitting in a service, maybe than I have anywhere else. Praise the Lord. It's that still small voice, praise God, that will speak to you when you're sitting there and your pastor's preaching something, and he says, maybe he reads one scripture, and maybe you've been counting the ceiling boards. I was going to say ceiling tiles, but you don't have those here. You're just counting the ceiling boards, or you're looking at the light that's flickering or something like that. But then all of a sudden, that one scripture comes out of nowhere and it just socks you in your gut. You know what I mean? It's just all of a sudden there's something there and you're like, man, there's something about that. Guess what? That's God talking to you. And see, if you learn to listen to God, now, of course, we know about praying in the Holy Ghost, and I know that teaches you. But this even applies to people who haven't been doing that. The word being preached will speak to us as well. I'm not downplaying praying in the Holy Spirit. I mean, I've been doing it this afternoon, praise the Lord. It's something that's of utmost importance, glory to God. But it's so important that we learn to hear and understand the voice of God. And He's going to speak to us in that place. But see, when we come to a place and we're distracted by things, we're thinking about other things, or we don't come at all. I mean, how many times, like people, I have seen, listen, now, there's reasons to miss church. I'm not saying there isn't. But I've met so many people that miss church for frivolous reasons. What's a frivolous reason? I'll tell you right now. Missing church for a frivolous reason is something that is more important. I mean, you got to look at it that way. If you're going to be out of church, there's a reason. The reason's got to be more important than being with God. You're meeting with God. Otherwise, you don't really believe you're meeting with God. Because if somebody told you that Jesus was going to be here, oh, you bet you'd be showing up. You bet the place would be full. Hallelujah. In fact, if you advertised that Jesus was going to be in church, glory to God, you couldn't get enough cars in the parking lot. We'd have to hire more ushers, praise the Lord. We'd have to do something different. We'd be packing them in. But see, people are so casual. They take the house of God so casual. They think, well, you know, I've been to 3 services this month. I don't need to go to a 4th. Or you know, we've gone twice a week, praise the Lord. Or 3 times a week. Whatever it takes, amen. I'm always going to be where. Now, I understand that there are times, there are things. You know, there's times when we need rest. I get that, amen. Praise the Lord. But I'll tell you, honestly, I'll sacrifice other things in my life so my rest is done somewhere else. Glory to God. And so I could be in the house of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Where were we? We're at verse 29. I don't want getting tomatoes thrown at me. People throw tomatoes anymore? Not in church. Throw handkerchief or the napkin or those Kleenex. Yeah, throw those. They'll never make it to me. Glory to God. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. See, this is what happens is people, they move on things without talking to God, without getting the direction of God. They find themselves into a place of trouble. Now, Peter did, but he got distracted by something else. And when he was distracted by something else, he was missing something, amen. He was missing that connection with Jesus. And when he was missing that connection with Jesus, he started to sink. And that's what oftentimes we do. We get distracted by whatever. We get distracted by life. We get distracted by things that are going on. And then all of a sudden, things are starting to get harder and harder and harder. You know, one of my favorite scriptures of all time is found in at the end of chapter 11, Matthew chapter 11, where Jesus said, you know, take my yoke upon you. Come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden. Praise the Lord, and I will give you rest. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus said to be yoked to him. But so much of what we do in life is trying to yoke Jesus to us. And there's a difference between being yoked to him or trying to yoke him to us. Listen, he isn't going to be yoked to us because we don't got the plan. We don't got the direction. But if we get yoked to him, it becomes light and easy. And that's one of the things I want to talk to you about is that the plan of God is light and easy. When you're following God, listen, people strive for a lot of things. Praise the Lord. I remember striving for a lot of things. I remember one time I thought I was called to business. And so we got into business. We believe the Lord led us into some things, and he did. But he led us in to show me that I wasn't called to business. Hallelujah. And so I, you know, because the calling to ministry was much higher than the call to business. And so I got out there, and it just seemed like sometimes it was like everything was working against me. Now listen, there's a difference between having opposition in something. We'll have opposition in anything good we do, right? There will always be opposition. But when you do something over and over and over and over and over and you still, nothing good is happening, I'm telling you it's not opposition. That's being in the wrong place. That's trying to do the wrong thing. Because when God has you do something, it always works out. But that's one thing I've noticed. Everything that I follow God on, I'm not saying there is. We just had a situation in our life just these last few weeks. And there were some things working against us. Amen. But you know, it was God. And one thing he was teaching me through it was to just trust him. To just rest in him, because with him it's light and easy. And if it isn't, I know it fairly quickly, and I can cut it loose. Because I'm not going to keep anything in my life that's going to dog me or keep me down. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Where was I? Verse 30. Okay, so he cried out, Lord, save me. And of course we know that immediately, that's as far as I was going to go, but Jesus saved him because he's good. But praise the Lord, we get some understanding here. We get some understanding that it's important, first of all, to step out in faith, but to know the direction that we're going. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Ephesians 4:11. God's got such good things for us. See, that's the thing I was talking about. You know, I remember... We in our camp, we like to use that word. We like to, I even used it tonight, but I'm believing for this or that. And a lot of times, that ain't really what's happening. It's something that we like to say, and the Bible doesn't really tell us to be believing for something. You know, overwhelmingly in Scripture, it tells us to trust him, trust God. In fact, Jesus, I don't see very many places in Scripture at all, almost none. In fact, and even the ones that I see aren't exactly what people take them to be. I don't even really see Jesus showing us to specifically sit there and ask him for things. Didn't Jesus say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? And all these things would be what? Added. Didn't say that you go out asking for it. In fact, earlier in those scriptures, and I'm not going to those, but earlier in those scriptures, what did he say? He said, look at the birds. And watch what they do. They neither toil nor spin. They're not working to get it. Now listen, that doesn't mean you don't work. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying, okay, everybody just quit your job and we'll just show up at church. We'll just stay here and God will provide. That's not what it means. Because the Bible also says he blesses the work of our hands. It tells us that he gives us the desires of our heart. But it doesn't command us to go seeking the desires. What I see in Scripture, actually, I can't find, and if you can find something different, well, let's talk about it afterwards. But what I see in Scripture is not to be believing for my own stuff at all. I remember when I was before I was pastoring, I was doing some work. I was working here at the church, but I was over at Pastor Tim and Pastor Katie's house, and Pastor Katie asked me a question. She said, Jeff, what have you been praying for or whatever? Just asking me a question, you know. I guess maybe she had heard something from God, I don't know, but she asked that, and I said, well, you know, I got to think about it, I was like, mostly just our own stuff. And we're like praying, Lord, you know, pay these bills, Lord, we're always stressed, always, see, if you're doing that, you're outside of what the bounds of the word, you're not doing the word, you've already stepped out of what God said, trust him, he said, just follow me and trust me, follow me and trust me. Follow me and trust me. He didn't say to sit there begging for something, to get into intercession about your own stuff. In fact, overwhelmingly, when I look at the Word, I see that we're supposed to pray for others. We're supposed to pray with different types of prayer. Now, apparently, Jesus appeared to a man named Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, right? And he gave him this formula, if you want to call it that, to receive things from God. And what did he say in that? He said, he didn't say to ask me for anything. He said, first, to claim whatever it is you need. That's not getting into prayer and all this. He said, claim whatever it is you need. He said, command the devil to take his hands off of it, right? Loose the angels, go out and cause it to come in. Praise the Lord. And then he said, after that, thank him for it. He didn't say, and he doesn't ask it again. How many? But we all know that what we do when we need something, we just get and we get into prayer. And see, what it does is it takes our focus off of the place where it's supposed to be. The place it's supposed to be is on him. And that's why people sink. That's why people miss it, because their focus moves from being on him to being on the thing that they need. And don't you know that the devil will present lots of need to you? I mean, Jesus promised that we would have opposition. I am assuming that this is probably for somebody, if not everybody, praise the Lord. But we all need to think about these things. God desires that we have good things. So if God desires that we have good things, it couldn't be that he's withholding it, could it? Because doesn't the Bible also say that he withholds no good thing from those who what? From those who just pray. From those who constantly seek him for that stuff. No, he knows he withholds no good thing from those who walk uprightly. Those are those who are walking right. What's walking right? Following God, doing his commandments, following the word, doing what he said to do. Praise the Lord. But what we do is we get so consumed with everything else, but you know, praise God. God's trying to show us something. He's trying to take us somewhere. God wants us to be blessed. Has God ever done anything for you? And you just didn't even know why. It just happened. And you thought, praise God, and you you have that moment. You ever had one of those moments? I have those moments all the time, glory to God. We're just like, Lord, I didn't even deserve this. I wasn't even good this week. Hallelujah. I was bad. I did some bad stuff this week, Lord, and you brought me this anyways. Why did he bring it to me? Because he loves me. What's a good father doing? He loves us. Praise, I just want to talk about God's love for a minute. Hallelujah. I hope you don't mind, because it makes me smile on the inside. I like smiling on the inside. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It tickles my insides. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to go any further. If I was in Mayville, I'd go further with that, but we're going to stop now. You guys are in Jamestown, and you wouldn't quite understand that where I'm going. Praise the Lord. But hallelujah. See, the Mayville people are laughing. Praise God. Glory to God. But God loves us. He's desiring to get good things to us. But we can stop that by all the walls that we constantly put up. Amen? You know, I preach, and I normally don't like to do this, but I preached a message this week in Mayville on Sunday about boundaries and how God has given us boundaries. It's important to know what's in the things that he's given us. We're going to see that here more in a minute, but it's important to know what God has for us. It's good stuff, just let me tell you. But if you're still focused on just what you want, you're going to miss the good stuff. Did you find Ephesians 4? Did I tell you to go there? I haven't found it yet. I need a page turner. Someone who can volunteer to be my page turner? I'm just saying that because I can't find Ephesians. That's a joke. I'm getting there right now. Hallelujah. I know where Ephesians is mostly. I know where it is most of the time. Ephesians 4, verse 11. Glory to God. Do you know how hard it is to talk, try to fill in when you're trying to turn a page and turn a page at the same time? Glory to God. See, you don't understand the toil that we pastors have to go through. We have to entertain you and turn the page. These are difficult things. Ephesians 4:11. That's a joke, by the way. Hallelujah. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for something, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Does anyone here have a pastor? Praise the Lord. I think you all do. He's given you a pastor to equip you for something, for the work of the ministry. We are all called to the ministry. The ministry is for all of us. That doesn't mean that we're all going to be, again, pastors. You know, one of the, but we're all called to the ministry, the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry, this is the first thing that Jesus did when he ascended, is he led captivity captive and he gave us the offices, the ministry offices, to equip us for the work of the ministry. What do you think is most important to God? It's the work of the ministry. In fact, you know, I see so often where we take scriptures out of context. Anyone know Philippians 4:13? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We love that scripture, don't we? Doesn't that empower you? Doesn't it make you feel good? But so often we're using it the wrong way. Another one is Philippians 4:19. Praise the Lord. Where my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. But if you read in context, both of those scriptures pertain to people who were doing what? The work of the ministry. It does not pertain to everybody just because you call yourself a Christian. It doesn't pertain to everybody just because you showed up at church. It means that those who are actively involved in the ministry, those who care about what the ministry is doing, those who care where the church is going, those who care to see more and more people saved, those are the people who can do all things. And actually, all the things that he's talking about are the things in the ministry. It's the laying on of hands. It's the believing God for healing here and there. In fact, actually, I've been studying this out a little bit, and I don't know if I'm going to get something thrown at me now, but when you look at what Jesus was telling us that he would give us, that he would answer our prayers, and he would do all these things, all of those things, every single one of them, pertain to not your own stuff, but the work of the ministry. It means that Jesus said that when you go and you pray over somebody, I will back you up. He said, when you lay hands on somebody, I'll guarantee the healing. You ain't got to do it. That's what it's for. It's not so that you can line your pocketbooks. Praise the Lord. Is that where they are? I don't know where they're at. Where do they put pocketbooks? In the pockets. I'm touching every pocket just in case praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. All that stuff is good. God wants you blessed. And it comes. He just adds it. It's not something we have to seek. It's not something that we are supposed to seek. We are not supposed to sit there and seek God's hand. We're supposed to seek his face. And what's God's face looking at? God's face is not looking at all the gold in Havilah. His face is not looking at all the buildings and all the cars. His face is looking at all the people that don't know him yet. I better be careful because we got to get railings here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God's face is looking at all the people that he wants saved, all the people he wants helped. It's looking at the work of the ministry. God cares about people. And until people make that the focus, they're going to miss God's plan. You want to know what your purpose is? It starts in the house of God, because right here is where we come together and we hear everything that God... Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sometimes I just have a moment where I realize what I'm doing. I'm like, how can I be... You know, I'm just going to tell you the truth. The first sermon that I ever preached, technically, was in a mentoring class that we had. It was right here. And I stood down there, and I spent an entire 9 minutes trying very hard to get everything that I had to say. And I was stuttering, and I was unsure of myself, and I was nervous, and I was scared. Praise the Lord. And then a little while later, not too much long after that, I was standing in the back at position 3. Is 3 still back there? Praise the Lord. Lee's at position 3. I was sitting at position 3 because that was my position. I was serving God. And it was in a prayer after service on a Wednesday night. We had prayer. And I was back there praying. And all of a sudden, I had a vision of myself preaching sometime in the future. And I thought, dear Jesus, how would I ever get there? I never could imagine how I would have the words to be able to speak like that, because I would stutter when I get up there, but stutter because I was nervous and couldn't even form full sentences. I still can't, but it's different. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. Now it's anointed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But I would get up there and I was scared, and I couldn't even pray. Just pick any one of you. We went to lunch together, and we sat down in a restaurant. I was so scared of talking in front of people that I couldn't even pray a prayer for dinner or lunch sitting with another person. That's how scared I was of it. But see, then the Lord gave me that vision. But when did that vision occur? It happened when I was serving God. I was ushering. Praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. You know, sometimes we look down at serving. We look like, I got to serve here again. I got to serve here again. Be blessed that you've got a place to serve, because that's where God reveals his plan. As in, you know, he tells us that he gives praise the Lord, that if you're not faithful in what is another man's, who's going to give you what's your own? Amen. Well, glory to God. But he's called us to the ministry. Where are we at? 4:12. But we still got more scriptures to read. Praise God. Hallelujah. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We have to be body-minded. We have to be. Listen, I know that there's a lot of things to worry about. The devil, again, will make sure of it. There's lots of things you concern yourself about, but that's if you're not a believer. If you're not, I really want to change that word. I don't like the word believer because it's been used wrong so much. We may even need to call ourselves trusters. Do you know what I mean? I trust God. What is trust is different than believe. Believe is I believe he exists. I believe you're there. There's a big, praise God. I trust Pastor Brad, you can't use that. I'm not going to pick somebody out of the crowd. I don't think there's anyone in here I don't particularly trust. But just because you see somebody, you believe that they're there. But that doesn't mean you trust them. There's a huge difference between believe and trust. God has not called us to believe him. He's called us to trust him. We are not to believe in God. We're to trust in God. And actually, that's a translation. But if you dig into that translation, that word believe, that's what it means. Trust God. And we need to be trusters. We need to be people that we don't care what is going on or what it looks like, that we trust God because we know that we can. He's proven himself to us. And if we can't, I'm going to tell you honestly, if you can't learn to trust God, you're wasting your time being in church because you'll never go anywhere. You'll never go anywhere. You will never get into what God has for you. Oh, praise the Lord. Until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Listen, this is where God is taking us. This is the work of the ministry. What time do I have to end? Praise God, hallelujah. I don't even know where it's at. Well, praise God, hallelujah. To the work of the ministry. This is why God has called it. Well, I better get back into that because I got distracted there for a minute. The fullness of Christ. Yes, the fullness of Christ. I love the fullness of Christ. I want the fullness of Christ in my life. Why? Because Christ didn't lack. He didn't lack anything. There was nothing that Jesus couldn't get, didn't have, didn't know. He knew everything. He knew where to go, how to be there, praise the Lord, who to talk to, who not to talk to, praise God. And he knew the power of God. Hallelujah. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro. See, this is such an, praise the Lord. How can we, as Christians, be tossed to and fro? If we're truly trusting, if we're truly following God, if we're truly connected to his work. See, we're tossed to and fro in our minds all the time. Well, what do I do now? Where do I go here? No, you just follow God and he'll take you everywhere you need to go. In the right time, at the right place, you'll be there right where the blessing is. You'll be, and praise the Lord, and then he'll bless you to boot as you're going. Hallelujah. Because you cannot serve God and not have the blessing of God. You cannot, let me say this. You cannot serve God with your whole heart and not have the blessing of God fully pouring off of your life. It just happens. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I haven't gotten to all that he has for me yet. But I know that I'm going to. Praise the Lord. No longer be tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Praise the Lord. I don't know if anyone in here plays volleyball, but I'm just going to tell you right now, if you're going to a volleyball game instead of church, do you see Jesus there? Are you growing up into the head, or are you being distracted by something that doesn't matter? Listen, folks, this life does, the things on this world, they don't matter. There's things that we are here for us to enjoy, and that's fine. But when they pull us away from the work of the Lord, when they pull us away from the importance that Christ, when they pull us away from the body of Christ, they don't matter. They're not worth it. Praise God. I see Christians after going, when my son was, praise the Lord, when he was in high school, he wanted to join a cross-country team. He wanted to run. I don't know why, he's crazy. There ain't no part of me that ever looks at a runner thinking, man, I want to do that. In fact, usually when I look at people running, I get mad at them. Forgive me if you're a runner, but I get mad at them because I think, why would anyone want to do that? But anyways, he wanted to do that, and he was good at it and all this stuff. But we told him, and we told his coach, he can be on the team if you agree to one thing. When there's church, he ain't there. Coach agreed to it, was fine with it, until we had a special service. And there was also a special meet. And we said, sorry, coach, but he is called to be in the church. And he went, and the coach didn't like that. And there was a lot of praise the Lord. The coach was a Christian. Yeah. Who doesn't understand the importance of the house of God. Why would you take that from a young man? Praise the Lord. You know, why would you take the most important thing that you could teach a child? You know, because he's still a child at that point, you know. Why would you take the most important thing that you could teach a child, pull away from him and give him something that's brass, as we like to say, or something that's worthless? I don't get it. And I'll tell you, as a parent, I would refuse to do it. Praise God. In verse 16, from whom the whole body joined and knit together. Look at this. By what every joint supplies. You are a joint in the body of Christ. You are a piece of the body. It is imperative to the call of God, to the things that God wants to do, that you make full use of that joint, that you are let the body use that joint fully. Amen? According to the effective working by which every part does its share, causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now we know that God commanded us to love one another, and love is the most important, right? But that's a commandment, you know. He told us to love one another. But look at this. If a part's refusing to do its share, what's it doing? It's not walking in love. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah, you know, I just was reading a note that I had written there. It was in that time of serving God that I learned my call. And so people who are after, turn with me to Hebrews 10:23. As we're going there, people who are after the direction, the call of God, you have to understand it is imperatively connected. It is so purposefully connected in serving and being connected in what we do in that. Amen? Listen, people are going to struggle with things. I know people in this church have been struggling with things. I know people in my church have been struggling with things. Guess what? People are struggling all over the workplace. You know why? Because the devil hates us. Yep, the devil hates us. He doesn't want us to succeed. So if you're struggling, guess what? You just got up there. It just means that you're right in the ranks with other Christians. I'm going to say something that's going to sound a little harsh, but listen, I love you. Afterwards, I'll hug you if you need it. But if you're struggling right now, people struggle because there's an enemy. But we decide whether or not the struggle is going to get us or not. We decide if the struggle is going to keep us from going forward or not. We decide because God's already promised it. And so if you are struggling, the thing that you can do is to get to that place of expectation, knowing that God is good, start trusting him. Remember Jeremiah 29, we don't want to get too far away from there. So, praise God. Look at Hebrews 10:23. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Let us hold fast the confession of what? Our hope. What's our hope? The plan of God, Jeremiah 29:11. Amen? We have a future and a hope. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. What are you confessing? Your hope. God's taking me through. He's taking me to greater things. Praise the Lord. He's doing a mighty work. Just whatever you can grab onto. Praise the Lord. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And you're saying to me, Pastor Jeff, I am here tonight. I haven't forsaken the assembling together. Well, see, guess what? Sometimes that word forsaken actually is the same word as abandoned. You might be here physically, but have you forsaken it in your mind? Have you forsaken it in your heart? Are there other things that are more important to you? Are there things that are drawing you away? Or is the number one thing for you to get in the house of God and see what God is going to do next? See what God wants to do next? See, it's all that stuff that draws us away. It's all that stuff. That's the forsaking of the assembling together. Because you can be there and just be, and you could be adding nothing to the service. You could be adding nothing to the church. You could be taking up pew or seats and just breathing good air that other people need to breathe. Praise the Lord. We don't want to be that. We don't want to. Who wants to stand before Jesus and have Jesus say, "Congratulations, you made it to church, but you didn't do anything. You made it to church, but all you did was you took up space. You made it to church, but the reflection of your life caused other people to stumble, caused other people to walk away from God, caused other people to not even want God because they saw the foolishness in your life. Because you talk about how good God is and everything, and then you know you can drop it at a dime. We've seen this happen. We've seen people who have been desiring a spouse to come in, and they were going to church, and they were learning, and then all of a sudden they started being wishy-washy in their faith. And the spouse who was about to come never came. Praise the Lord. And they're going to have to stand before the Lord. Who wants that? Praise the Lord. You can have forsaken your heart and your mind. Your plan and your purpose will be found right smack in the middle of where God has planted you. And that has to mean something to us. That has to mean something to us as much as salvation. Why do I love the local church? Not just because I'm a pastor. I love the local church because I understand why God gave us the local church. I understand what God's trying to do with the local church. I understand that He is pouring out the blessing and the love and all the things, everything that we have. You know, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. What He's talking about is seeking this thing. Praise the Lord. Prayers otherwise, I don't want to call them worthless prayers. But they're really not effective prayers because we're praying. You know, we've been taught enough in these churches to know that there's different ways of praying. That you don't just get down, you know, Lord, if it's your will, let, you know, bless me. If it's your will, you know, let me get beyond. We know this stuff, right? But there's so much to prayer. Prayer isn't just about, man, I just been, you know, as I get closer to God, I just mean in my walk, not because I'm some spiritual giant, but just because I'm moving forward in the things of God like you are, right? Praise the Lord. And we have to stir ourselves in these things. But as I get closer to God, you know what it seems that He leads me more on? Is not like planting more churches, not building bigger sanctuaries, doing things. It's just seeking Him. He's like, the more I seek God, the more that I find He just wants me to seek Him more. Just get in my presence more. Just get. He created us to fellowship with Him. Praise the Lord. He's, well, glory to God. 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. The word peace, again, is another interesting word because we think of it, you know, in very shallow terms, I think. But in Scripture, it means harmony, safety, security, prosperity. Praise the Lord. If you try and you try on doing something, and it's not working out, you need to ask yourself, am I in the plan of God? Am I following what He has for me? And again, in context, it all pertains to how we're connected to the local church and the work that's being done. The local church, it's not just about family church. It's about the work that family church is doing. It's not just about having another family church or being in another service or whatever. You know, praise the Lord for, you know, the playground. That's an awesome thing. But do you know what the underlying thing with the playground is? It's people. It's not just to have a playground, to have a nice, you know, it's great to have nice, we have to have nice buildings and stuff like that. It's important to God that we do that. But again, that's about people. It's about showing everything in our life should reflect the goodness of God. We shouldn't be going around reflecting like this God who doesn't take care of His children, this God who doesn't answer prayers, this God who doesn't heal anybody, this God who there's no power, there's no... Really, that's what the world sees. And that's why the world is leaving God behind. That's why our society could care less about God. I hear people, I like to watch on YouTube sometimes, I like to watch like Christian apologists and stuff. You know, there's people who explain our faith to the world kind of thing. And, you know, there'll be people that, there's always atheists on there asking them questions. And, you know, all the questions that they answer them, ask them, are always questions that are based in misunderstanding of Scripture. Usually things that have been taught in churches. That's what they're atheists because of false teaching that they've got in bad churches or that they've heard. Praise the Lord. You know, it's one I heard just recently. He was talking about this trust versus believe thing. And he was saying, He couldn't, what he, this atheist, what he was, the hardest thing that he had a hard time understanding is how God could just allow someone, just because they believe, that could have been a rotten, nasty person, but just because they believed in God, to go to heaven. And I'm sitting there, and the guy, the apologist, wasn't answering him. And I'm like, that's not it at all. God's not letting anyone into heaven just because they believe. We know the demons believe. It doesn't do them any good, right? He lets people in heaven who trust in him. Trust in him for salvation. Trust in him for their lives. Trust in God for who he is. Trust in his word. Believe his word. Amen? There's a big difference between those two things. Oh, glory to God. So if you're trying something in life, if you're going through life and you're just trying to figure it out, you're trying to, like, you're doing something, amen, over and over and over again, and it's not working, you need to reevaluate what you're doing. You need to evaluate where your focus is. Because I'll say this again, I'll say it maybe 1,000 times, but the things of God, the direction of God, works every time, 100% of the time. It never fails. When God tells you to do something, sometimes there'll be opposition. I'll give you a good example. It's our Cory church. You know, there's a lot of things naturally that come against the church. We don't have a huge congregation there. I'm sad to report. Not really sad to report. That's a joke. Praise the Lord. But, you know, a lot of people, they'll ask me, how's Cory doing? How's Cory doing? How's Cory doing? And I know that most of the time when people ask that, they're not so much concerned with what's actually going on there. I'm not saying everybody, but, you know, just because this is human nature. This is just a thing. I've done it too. But the question is really, how much has it grown? How many people are there? Is it someplace that, you know, because we measure the work a lot of times in our own minds. We measure it by the size of the church. But I'm going to tell you that we have a few faithful people there. And the growth is in them. They are growing by leaps and bounds. They're hearing the word that they've never heard before. They're seeing things. They're seeing God in a way that they've never seen him before. They're experiencing God in a way that they've never experienced it before. The success of the church is great. It's doing exactly where God has planted us. And the direction has been there. God has told me about it. And he's told other ministers about it to tell me about it. Praise the Lord. And so we see that the direction of God is there. And so because it doesn't look like something that we think it ought to, praise the Lord. And I'm not talking down. I mean, the growth of it will be what it is. God will cause people to come in, and there's going to be great, wonderful things he does there. Sometimes we do things now for later. Sometimes we start things now for later. But see, when there's direction, we know that it's God. But, you know, when we try things, we're just like, well, I think this might be God. And so we go out and we try it. I mean, I'm not saying that we don't do that. Sometimes we do. But when you try something and it doesn't work, doesn't work, doesn't work, you got to question whether it's actually God. Is it God or is it your plan? And see, yeah, praise the Lord. And sometimes that's a hard thing to put down. We're going to see people that did that here. You're in Hebrews 10. Go back to Hebrews 3. Praise God. Hebrews 3:15. I'm just trying to judge, like, how long have I sat in a service here? And I'm, like, trying to read the clock because it's not digital. So I'm trying to make sure that I've got it all right. You know what I mean? What's that? Yeah, about that. That's what I figured. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hebrews 3, verse 7. Hebrews 3, 7 through 15. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, that's God, right? Holy Spirit, he's God too, right? As the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness. Praise God. Where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts. See, what God was saying to them, what God was trying to do in them didn't matter. They wanted what they wanted. They thought the way they thought. They weren't willing to lay down their thoughts to change their thoughts. They weren't willing to renew their mind. Of course, now they didn't have the New Testament. They didn't have Romans 12:2 like we do. But we got Romans 12:2. We got no excuse. They didn't have some of the stuff. They didn't have Jesus. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. We got that, folks. We shouldn't be doing the same thing they're doing. We shouldn't be coming up against the same. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Therefore, I was angry with that generation. Say they always go astray in their hearts. And they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Because they have not known my ways. You ever heard a scripture that says something along the lines that my ways are not your ways and your thoughts are not my thoughts. That's why we need, that doesn't mean just like forever keep it that way. Praise the Lord. That's why we renew our minds, because we need to make our thoughts his thoughts. But see, when we think the way we always thought, you know, when you come in from the world, so you know what you come in from, right? So anything that you hear here that sounds strange to you, that's where your thoughts need to go. You need to go that way. Amen? Because you know where you came from, right? You know what you came out of, right? Well, what you came out of, that wasn't good. Remember that? Because you wouldn't have been here if it was. There was something that was missing there. Even if your life was pretty much good, but you're here, there's a reason you're here. And that reason is good enough to change. That reason is good enough to lay down those thoughts. Listen, this is not something that is just like, what up, lay down my thoughts. The Bible says to fight the good fight of faith. Trusting God, believing him at his word, that what he says is better than what you think. And when you take what he says is better than what you think, then you start taking his thoughts. I'm a pastor, and I have to do this every single day. I believe the word of God. I trust God. And yet I have to do this all the time. With every situation that arises, I have to put down my thoughts, because my thoughts always want to go, this is the way it always is for me. It never works out. Things never happen the way that I want to happen. It's always bad. It's always this. It's always that. Oh, let's get depressed again, Jeff. Let's go back down that tunnel, because we know how much fun that was. I know how much fun it was when I constantly was thinking about killing myself. That's such a wonderful place to be. How much fun I was saying, we talked every once in a while. I'll tell a story with like the family or whatever. We'll talk about something stupid that I did when I was a kid. You know, and sometimes when you talk about stuff, like I laugh about it from the standpoint of how stupid it was and I couldn't see it. You know what I mean? But it almost sounds like, it can sound to outsiders who haven't experienced that, it can almost sound like, man, he was having a lot of fun. No, I wasn't having a lot of fun in my stupidity, because I lived in misery every single day. And so I was doing drugs and things like that, because I was trying to take my mind off of the life that I so hated. Right? I don't do that anymore. I don't have urge to take drugs anymore. I do like to get drunk in the Holy Ghost a little bit, but praise the Lord. That's okay. That's all right. It's okay, man. All right, praise the Lord. Where am I? I don't even know where I'm at. Oh, we got this monitor here, and I keep forgetting to look at it. All right. I'm in verse 11 in chapter 3 of Hebrews. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren. Beware, brethren. Watch out. That's what it means. That's what beware means. It means watch out. Achtung. You ever seen those? I always like the little yellow things that they put in the mall when the floor is slippery. And I read the German version, because I just like that. Like, Achtung. It just sounds like, watch out, beware. That's what he's saying. Praise the Lord. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you should be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold our confidence steadfast until the end, praise the Lord, while it is said, today if you will hear his voice, if you will hear his voice, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. If you will, if you'll listen to him, if you'll even listen to what he's saying to you, do you listen to correction? Listen, when pastor preaches something and it steps on my toes, you know, we used to say, ouch, hallelujah, or we used to say, that's what we would say. We never really say it, because we never like getting our toes really stepped on. But afterwards, we're always kind of like, okay, ouch, hallelujah. Plus, we don't want everybody else to know that we are the ones that are dealing with that, so we wouldn't say anything. But you know what I'm talking about. When things are said that bother you, when things are said that rub you the wrong way, get over yourself. It doesn't matter, because that is part of the world. That's where you were, and when you were there, it was no good. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. Here, it's much better. Especially if you're listening to God, if you'll hear his voice, if you'll go in the direction that he says. Who cares what your plans are? They weren't good anyways. Everything I tried, I didn't know if it would work or fail. I should have known, because everything failed. I should have just said, it's all going to fail. Because that's what it did. It all failed. God didn't let nothing work out for me. I'm just telling you the truth, and thank God he didn't. Because if you let some of that garbage work out, I wouldn't be here today getting paid the big bucks. Hallelujah. That's a joke. Hallelujah. You just got to throw a little of that in, you know, just to... Where the Israelites went wrong was not making mistakes. Where the Israelites went wrong was not, you know, not just missing it in an area. Where the Israelites went wrong was not recognizing their error. They never recognized where they were off. Why do you think they stayed in the wilderness? God desired them to get into the promised land. They went to the wilderness because they wouldn't listen to what he was saying. So, if you're in the wilderness, there's two reasons to be in the wilderness. Sometimes God will lead you into the wilderness to test you before you go out and do something great for him. But sometimes you're going to be in the wilderness because you just did something stupid or you didn't listen to God, and he's just going to let you go into the wilderness and go out there and see how that is for a little while. And sometimes people stay in the wilderness for too long. Sometimes people stay in the wilderness forever. You ever hear about those Christians? Oh, they're good Christian. They died miserable and poor. Nothing ever went their way. That's a Christian that spent their life in the wilderness, and not because God didn't have a plan for them. But why do people look at it and think that that person now, because that person lived a life that was opposite of what God's word said, now they will trust that person's life over what God has promised, what God has said. But see, that's what we do. We always look to each other's life to give us a rating on whether or not this all works out. Testimonies are great, and testimonies should build us up, but I shouldn't need someone's testimony because I got the Word of God. That's the only testimony I need. I don't need someone else's promise. I need God's promise. It doesn't matter how God did it for someone else. All you need to know is that he did it for everyone else, and that means that he'll also do it for you. So if you can know that much, you're already in a good place to be. Praise the Lord. Hope I'm not yelling too much. Hallelujah. Glory. God has caused you to... This is something I really wanted to get to. God has not caused you. Now you're gonna maybe you'll get mad at me when I say this, but God has not called you to grow a business. God has not called you to grow a church. He hasn't called you to grow anything. He's called you to follow him. He's only called you to follow him. I'm not saying you can't be in business, but if you're in a godly business, it will do what God wants it to do, which is succeed. Because God doesn't set you up for failure. He doesn't set things up for failure. You can do the same thing in a church. When I was down in Corey in the beginning, we were down there and we're trying to like, Lord, how do we reach people? And we were just banging our heads on the wall, trying to figure out what we do. We go down there and we would meet people as much as we could. We'd go to restaurants. We'd go to stores, as few as there were. We would do whatever we could possibly do to meet people. I'm like, Lord, what am I not doing? Praise the Lord. And I know you want to know what his answer was. It was in 1 Corinthians 3:6. He said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. God hasn't caused you to make anything grow. He's called you to sow and plant. Praise the Lord, it's the same thing. Sow. He's called you to do the work, to fight the good fight of faith. But he hasn't called you to make anything successful. See, how many Christian businessmen will do that? How many Christian businessmen they'll spend their lives trying to make their business successful and miss God the whole time? Why? Because God didn't call them to do that. God called them to be connected to the work. God called them. Listen, if God wants you to make you a millionaire to pay off the church, praise the Lord. But he will do that as you're serving him. But see, a lot of people have this idea. I remember, because we all used to sit there and say, Lord, give me the money, because if you give me the money, I'll pay off the church. God doesn't need a bunch of millionaires. He just needs people being faithful in what they do. He needs you being faithful where you're at. It does not matter what you have, because God doesn't need what you have. All he needs is you. He needs your heart. He needs your desire. He needs your faith. He needs you to stand up and say, I'll just do whatever you tell me to do. So if that's bring $1 for the offering, then that's what I'm going to bring. I don't need to bring $1 million. Now, I understand. Listen, I'm not going against like what Pastor Tim says. We should all compete to be the first to pay the church off. I agree with that. That means what he's saying in essence is that we need to have a heart to do the things of God above and beyond everything. You know, Dr. Dufresne would say, if the church needs carpet or my house needs carpet, the church gets a carpet. Yes, that's because your heart is for the local church, to see people saved, to see people blessed. But see, this is the thing. People are trying to build their lives to do something way out in the future. And God's saying, today, if you will hear my voice, today, if you'll hear, he's not telling you to wait. You start today. You start where you're at right now, and you go with it. Glory to God. And God will make you successful. He blesses the work of your hands as you're moving forward in Him, as you're doing the work of the Lord. That's all He's after. He doesn't need you to be a millionaire. Stop thinking about that. Praise the Lord if you get to be. Praise the Lord if you are one. But God does not need to fill the church with millionaires. He needs faithful people. In fact, as a pastor, I don't desire millionaires at all. I'd say I'm blessed if we get them, and they're faithful. Praise the Lord. But what I want is a church full of faithful people, because I want to see the move of God. I want to see things change. I want to see the world saved. I don't give a rip how it happens. Jesus turned water into wine. He made a few fish and a few loaves of bread multiply right before their eyes. You don't think He can do something with a dollar that's put in the offering in faith? You don't think He can do something with a person who has nothing and presents himself before the Lord? Lord, I have absolutely nothing to give you, but such as I have, I give. Take what I have. Take me, Lord. You don't think God can't do something with that? He showed us the multiplication to show us that it doesn't matter what it looks like. It only matters what we trust. It only matters what we'll reach for. It only matters who we believe in. Amen? When God calls and we follow, it works every time, 100% of the time. Praise the Lord. Now we're getting real close to finishing. Real close. So I'm just going to take that few more minutes, because you don't have me next week. John 16:12. You don't have me next week, and so I got to get this all out, because if I don't, I'm going to go home and yell at my wife. I'll preach to her. I'll preach all the way home, and I don't want to have to do that. But remind me the next time I come, love, to bring my hanky. It's warm up here. Hallelujah. We like to keep it warm in Jamestown. I'm just flipping through pages. I don't even know where I'm going. Hallelujah. I'm going to John 16. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? You just get wrapped up. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's after Luke. There it is. John 16. Now we can count. 1, 2. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't tell Pastor Tim. Just tell him it was real good. John 16:12. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. That word say means put forth, to give out, to show. Praise the Lord. We are seeing so often, we are seeing what we want, and we're asking God to bless it. And Jesus says, I still have many things. I have many things to give over to you. I have many things to show you. I have many, many places to take you. I have many blessings to walk you in. I have many people for you to reach. You know what I mean? You know that the blessing, I'm just going to tell you right now, the greatest blessing in my life, out of all the things God has done for me, the greatest blessings in my life is when I see somebody who has sat under the word that God has used me to preach, and they've come to me and said, Pastor, it changed my life. I said, they give me this testimony or that testimony. The Lord brought me through this trial, and praise the Lord. And just because I stood on the word, glory to God, I'm telling you, it's the greatest thing in the world. Amen. But, you know, God blesses us with all the superficial stuff too, the stuff that don't matter. But why do we focus on that? It shouldn't even be a consideration. Jesus said, don't even think about that stuff. We don't even need to think about it. But yet we always make it a consideration. I don't know about you, but I remember back in the day, man, when I was first in, if I heard a message about prosperity, glory to God, I'm on board. I want that. I want a copy of that. I want books. I want all that stuff. Prosperity is great, but it can become our focus. And then we're out of the will of God. Amen. I have so many things to say to you, to show you, to declare to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. What's the truth that He guides us into? All of it. Whatever He needs us to know. Whatever He needs us to have. Whatever He needs us to do. And I'm going to tell you something right now. When God tells you to do something, He always supplies it. And because God is the type of God He is, when God supplies something, He doesn't just supply it. He supplies it, and He blesses you for your faithfulness. He takes care of you because you cared for Him, because you cared for His people, because you were after the things He was after. Amen? That's just the truth. He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. I know in the King James Version, it says show you things to come. Some people like that better, but I'm just telling you, they both work because they're both in there. Amen. But he shows us things to come. He tells us things to come. He does all of the above. Amen. And he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Now, when he declares it to us, this is the thing. He's declaring what belongs to us. See, we can just follow God, and he will declare to us every time what belongs to us, what's yours to have. You don't even need to ask him for stuff. He'll declare, and a lot of times, you know, the Bible does say in Ephesians, it tells us he does exceedingly abundantly above, or he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. So if he's already thinking exceedingly abundantly above, then what you can ask him for is peanuts. It's menial. It doesn't mean anything. It won't bless you. I mean, it might bless you for a minute when you get it, but it's not going to bless you eternally. Amen? Praise the Lord. He will declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. The Holy Ghost's job is to declare to us where to go, what to do, what belongs to us, what we partake of. See, it takes all the stress out of it, doesn't it? Now, that doesn't mean if you're going through life and you have desires, that doesn't mean you can't desire that. Praise the Lord. When I desire something, I desire it, and I smile because you know what? God brings me desires that I don't even ask for. He does it all the time. He knows just what I want. Praise the Lord. He knows just what I like. He knows just what tickles my fancy. Hallelujah. He knows exactly what's going to bless Jeff. Hallelujah. And so that's what he brings to me when I've been, you know, faithful. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Other things that I want? Yeah. But, you know, I love what Reverend Greer says. You can't have everything just put your beady little eyes on. Not everything is for you. Have we not learned that? I mean, sometimes in life, right? Husbands, you have one wife. You don't look at someone else's wife. Why? It's not for you. It's forbidden. But, you know, there's things in life that are like that, too. You know, I used this example last night when I was preaching. I used the example of land. I always like land. I always want land. Every time I see land for sale, I'm like, ooh, I want to buy it. Praise the Lord. But it's not all for me. What am I going to do with all this land if I buy it? You know what I mean? If I had a plan and there was a purpose for it, then praise the Lord. But there really isn't. I don't have one. And so I don't need it. And if that changes, well, praise God. And I was going to close with a scripture I've already mentioned several times, but Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, they shall be added to you. Christians, we got to believe it. We got to trust God. We got to say, you know what, Lord? Your word is enough. What you want, your plan, your purpose for me, that's enough for me. I know that it's more than enough for me. So I'm just going to endeavor to follow that. And if you start seeking God that way, and you stay faithful at church, and you do the best job that you can do, praise the Lord, just being you, hallelujah, you just do the best that you can do before him. Doesn't mean you're perfect. You just do the best. You watch and see what God will do. He will reveal his plan to you. It will bless you, and it will bless all those around you, because that's just how good God is. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word. We thank you for all the things that you've given us, Lord. We know that your word lasts and stands forever, that your word is truth, and God, we stand on that. Praise the Lord. We love you for it, Lord. We thank you for all that you have for us. Lord, I thank you that you've given us such wonderful and great gifts, Lord, in life, so that we can walk out the plan of God that's always blessed, that's always purposeful. And Father, we follow you. We learn to follow you, and we follow you more. So Father, we praise you for your goodness. We praise you for your love. We praise you for all the things that you've done, all the things that you're still yet to do, and all the things that you're doing in our midst right now. Now, with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, I want to take this opportunity, just because I don't know all of you. Praise the Lord. Well, it's important to know, if you don't know everybody, it's always important to find out if somebody needs a little saving. Praise God. You may have heard this message tonight, and you think, well, all that stuff is great, but you know, you don't even know the Lord. And I'm just going to tell you, the most important decision you'll ever make is to know Jesus. And so if that's you, if you've never received Jesus before in your life, if you don't know if you go to heaven, if you were to die today, I want to make sure that you have opportunity to do so. So if that's you, if you've never received Jesus, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around, just lift your hand up real quick. I'll have you put it right back down. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't see any hands. I kind of didn't think I would, but praise God for it. We give the opportunity. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you. I don't see any hands, but if for some reason anyone by the sound of my voice or on the recording or on live stream is not saved, Lord, we just pray that they don't leave this earth until they do. Lord, we pray for laborers in their path. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We need to take up an offering. Praise the Lord. It's good, right and good. This offering is not for me. Praise God. But I was told I could take it up. And man, since I'm up here and I'm going, I might as well just finish it out. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're just going to take up the offering. It's for the church. Glory to God. It does great and wonderful things. As you just look around and see all you wonderful people, praise the Lord, you're here as a result of the offerings and love of other people. Brothers, you can come forward as I'm gabbing up here. But we just, it's such a good thing to sow into the house of God. And so we believe God for a good harvest, praise the Lord, in this house. Father, we thank you for this time to give. We thank you for opportunity to give. Lord, we know that your word says that we're blessed as we give, that, Lord, you give back to us. There's nothing we can give that you won't give more. And so, Father, we thank you that we can release in faith. And right now, we release our faith, and we do say, because we are those who do the work of the Lord, my God shall supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Brothers, you can serve the people. Glory to God. Hey, it was fun being with you tonight. I'm so glad. Thank you for putting up with me. You got a great pastor in this church. You got a wonderful work that God's doing here. And I'm just so excited for it. I'm excited for Pastor Tim getting refreshed as he is. Praise the Lord. It's always important to do so. And believe me, that man loves you with all his heart. It's just amazing. I just love. He has been the perfect example of the pastor to be, and I'm just thankful that I've gotten to serve under him, and I still get to serve under him. But so come back and see him. Praise the Lord when he comes back. I don't know, is he this week or next week, or I don't know how it works. Praise the Lord. But I was here tonight. That's all I know. So praise the Lord. Thank you for being here. We love you. You're dismissed.